It was 1 year ago today. A cold morning, but a hot scene in Washington, D.C. as Donald Trump took a second oath of office for a second term. Much has happened since, but what is his greatest accomplishment? A West Fargo man hopes his next great accomplishment will be to land a spot on the West Fargo City Commission. And the mayor of Minneapolis says it will be a huge accomplishment if protesters stay peaceful so Trump doesn't have to invoke the Insurrection Act. Maybe a change in the temperature down in Minneapolis. I don't know. We can only hope, right? Could use a change in the temperature here where we are. Oh, my gosh. It is. It's that week, right? We get a couple of these weeks every winter where it's just cold for a long time, nowhere near average temps. And that's kind of where we're at here this week. But, hey, we get a little bit of this. And the good news is it's already January 20th. So two-thirds of the way through January. That means February is just around the corner. That means spring won't be too far behind. So buckle up. It's a cold week, but, hey, it's all good. And we get to be inside today talking about all the good things going on. If you're working outside today, good on you, man, lady. Tough people make this part of the world what it is, and we appreciate everybody who makes the world go around with all the things that you do. We're going to do quite a bit here today on the program. We're going to have a guest on later today who's going to talk about some of the military and political tensions that are existing in Europe right now with what's going on in Greenland. And I honestly didn't know much about Greenland, but I did a little homework last night to try to study up a little bit, because if you're like me, you hear these stories about Greenland, and you're like, okay, that's fine, but you know, I'm working, taking kids to school, I'm farming, I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I hear them talking about Greenland, but I don't know a lot about it. So I've learned a little bit, going to pass it along to you too, and I'll tell you what I like about what President Trump is talking about and what I don't coming up here on the program today. So we'll do that today. I said at the beginning of the show too, in the little open there, that much has happened in the last year. And it is exactly 1 year ago today. I was in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. They canceled it outside. They moved it inside of the Capitol Rotunda. A very small group of people able to be there for the actual ceremony. So I watched it in the hotel bar with a whole bunch of other people who came to Washington, D.C. to celebrate the inauguration. In some ways, it feels like it was 100 years ago. In some ways, I think back to some of the people and the sights and the sounds, and I remember the emotion, just the exhilaration of, oh my gosh, can you believe we finally got Democrats out of office and we're going to have some adult presence back in the room and a functioning human being, and we're going to have people working on things that the American people really care about rather than the climate change and sexual issues and gender identity issues. That was all it seemed like anybody was focusing on in the Biden administration. And just that, you know, strangers giving each other high fives, like, hey, go Trump, go. And what a year it's been. Interesting for sure. I want to know from you, though, what you think his greatest accomplishment is in year number one. So we'll have some phone line time today. Lots of interesting stories. The market is down big. First full day of trading this week. First day of trade. First any of trading this week, because it was a federal holiday yesterday with Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So the markets opened this morning, and with all of the discussion over the weekend about new tariffs going in on some of the European countries, the markets are down big today. They have rebounded somewhat, and I thought this might happen. This is not something that's going to really affect U.S. companies long term. But you get some of these kind of big things that sound flashy in headlines, and you know, economists, they sweat over this stuff and worry way too much. And stock traders do sometimes too. So a lot of things were down, but bouncing back a little bit here today. I don't know that we'll be back to unchanged by the end of the day, but I think we're going to be well off the session lows by the end of the day. We'll keep you up to speed on that, give you a market update here in just a moment. All right, let's get to it here with the Morning Wire on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. 7-8 top stories, give them to you quick with some weather almanac, opening markets as well. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio. DriveWithVision.com, Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton, 15 minutes or less to buy a new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. You're going to love it down there at Vision Ford, Lincoln. You can call us today, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. And there will be plenty of time for you to weigh in today on what you think President Trump's greatest accomplishment of year one has been. So let us know about that on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line today. You can also email studio@flagfamily.com. We'll check that as well. We'll also check our text line, 701-237-1590, 237-1590. All right, let's start with the almanac for today, January 20th. Average high in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, 18. Average low, 1. Record high, 54 in 1908. Record low, minus 42 in 1883. I want to say Daryl Richeson told me one time that January 20th was the record low for Fargo. I don't think we've had an air temperature below that. And back in 1883, I don't know how good the thermometers really were, but no doubt it was cold on this day back on that year. Sunrise this morning was at 8:04, and the sun will set at 5:12. We'll gain 2 minutes and 14 seconds of daylight today. Unbelievable. Just love that when the day is starting to get a little bit longer. All right, in the markets today, the Dow opened up about 800 points to the downside after what I was just telling you. Right now it's down 762, S&P 500 down 101, NASDAQ down 400. So losses between 1.5% and 2% mostly across the board right now. Basically, it's a spook on global trade things with Trump talking about aggressive tariffs over in Scandinavia, of all places. So that's what's happening there. WTI crude oil today. Interesting story about this in the news cycle today. Up $1.05 at $60.49, but still way too low for some people in the business. Gold today is up $154 an ounce at $4,749. Silver up $6.28 at $94.82. Silver's going to be $100 pretty soon. I remember not long ago, like $25, $30. Crazy what's happened to gold and silver prices. Bitcoin today not feeling it. Down about $2,800 at $90,293. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas today, $2.82 a gallon. Down a penny from yesterday. North Dakota, $2.52. South Dakota, $2.62. And Minnesota, $2.63. Diesel fuel today unchanged at $3.51 a gallon. In the news today, Martin Luther King Jr. holiday drew people from around the region to Concordia yesterday. Many speakers and student presentations honoring the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. They canceled the morning service because of some weather issues over there, but there were things going on throughout the day over there. I have said to you this before, two things can be true at the same time. We can bristle and be angry and all that and be rightfully insulted by what some have done to hijack the life and times of people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but we can also take a minute, I think, on days like yesterday, days like today, weeks like this, whatever it might be, to say, you know what, it is a good thing what has happened with civil rights in our country, and that people have more opportunities than they used to, and our country has definitely grown up a lot when it comes to that. And I will defend that strongly. One of my pound the table issues here. We don't talk about things like this a whole lot, but every once in a while it seems appropriate to do so, and it does today. Forum reports today that a West Fargo resident and attorney says he's going to run for West Fargo City Commission. Tyler Erickson is an attorney and father of three, 33 years of age. He's talking about some diversion issues. We've got to have some good strategic land development policy, and he'll only vote for sound zoning and tax policy that supports families and the continued sustainability of our vibrant and safe community. Two commissioner seats and the mayor will be part of the 2026 election. Commissioners Brad Olson and Robin Anderson are not going to seek re-election. WDA Radio this morning reports that ICE says an immigrant who was arrested in Minnesota has died in a Texas detention facility because he took his own life. Victor Manuel Diaz was an immigrant from Nicaragua found dead at a Texas immigration detention facility last week. Was arrested in Minnesota. Meanwhile, in Minnesota, though, Jacob Frey, the mayor, says that he hopes protesters will remain peaceful so the president won't need to send in the U.S. military. Very interesting. Hopes that the protesters will do their part. Very interesting. And Continental Resources CEO Harold Hamm says that we are shutting down our oil rigs as falling oil prices have, in his words, eliminated profit margins for Bakken operation. Those are some of the stories making headlines here on this Tuesday. When we come back, why is everyone seeing red over Greenland? The president is talking tough and talking trade to apparently get it under American control, but where is Greenland and why is it so important all of a sudden? That's next. Story of the day today is that President Trump is on his way to Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum. They gather every year over there and they generally talk about economic issues, but they get a little weird about it. They end up talking about climate change and all these kind of social issues there as much as they end up talking about economic policy. So the president's on his way, and he has made some waves ahead of arriving. And a reading from the Wall Street Journal today, President Trump is amping up his rhetoric on plans for Greenland in a series of social media posts, saying the U.S. is the only country that can ensure peace and prompting some tense exchanges between U.S. and European officials. The posts follow days of escalating tensions over Greenland, with Trump having launched a series of tariff threats in an effort to pressure Europe to drop its opposition to a U.S. takeover. The subject is, of course, going to be a big subject in Davos this week. So I picked up on this, I don't know, a couple weeks ago that Greenland is being talked about. I'm like, okay, someday I'll figure out what this is all about. But it doesn't seem to matter too much right now. Well, then I started hearing things about a potential, you know, military intervention. And I'm like, okay, I got to see what's going on here. And in the event that you have not read up a ton on it, here's a little summary for you, and then I'll give you kind of my two takeaways on this at the end. So Greenland has become the centerpiece of a big stare down between the U.S. and not just Greenland, but Denmark and the European allies over there. The president has escalated his something he's kind of talked off and on about for a while, by threatening these sweeping tariffs on eight of the European nations until a deal for the complete and total purchase of the island, according to Trump's words on Truth Social, is reached. We're seeing the stock market react to that this morning. So what do we know about Greenland? Well, it's an autonomous territory within the Kingdom of Denmark. Denmark provides an annual subsidy of about $600 million, and they manage the foreign policy. But Greenland residents have a recognized right to self-determination. They can legally choose independence through a referendum if they want to. So it's not like they're being held hostage. This is sort of a partnership over there. The president has labeled Greenland an essential territory for U.S. security, and he's proposed a Golden Dome type of system over there for missile defense. And he says that this is unique because, in one of his quotes, the angles and boundaries are required for maximum efficiency to protect the U.S. from modern weaponry. Okay, so the administration is worried that the Arctic is being overrun by Russian and Chinese ships, and the facts back that up. There has been an increased presence in recent years. And Trump says that Denmark, who would be responsible for protecting Greenland, doesn't have enough resources to defend themselves if this happens. So America needs to be in control for the betterment of everybody over there. Beyond the whole defense thing, as you might expect, Greenland holds vast reserves of critical minerals, lithium, graphite, uranium. So these are big things when it comes to electric batteries, circuits, energy production. A lot of that stuff is dominated by China right now. Now, Trump has already announced there's going to be a 10% tariff starting February 1, on all goods from Denmark, Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, the UK, Netherlands, and Finland, if a deal isn't struck for the United States to basically start running Greenland by June 1st. And he's threatened to increase the import taxes to about 25%. Denmark and Greenland have flatly rejected any sale, saying this is not for sale. And in response to some of these comments, France, Germany, Norway have deployed a small number of troops to the island for defense. Okay, so here's where it gets dicey to me. On the 10th of January, the president said while he would prefer to make the deal the easy way, the U.S. would do it, quote, the hard way if Denmark continues to resist. And White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt has confirmed that military force is an option that is on the table, though diplomacy is the preferred first choice. All right, so that's a little bit of the the rundown of Greenland, what's going on here. So what do I make of this? Number one, tariff talk is generally harmless. There can be economic impact. We know that. Kind of a one-time bump in prices and all of that. Not just Greenland and Denmark, but more from the European Union, where we bring in products from that. Second of all, though, the one that has me unsettled is the military action. I don't know if Trump is really serious about this. A lot of times he's not, when he just floats things out there. He's a notorious floater. But this one bothers me. This is an implied threat of a military takeover of Denmark and Greenland. These are the neighbors to Sweden and Norway. This is the same area. This is not Venezuela. And I think the president's wrong to even make it appear that this is on the table. It can't really be. There's no way that you can argue or that I can believe that Trump is going to do a hostile takeover of Greenland. I just can't imagine. And I think he knows that. There's tough deal making, yes, and I'm all for all of that. And he's done really well with a lot of that. But this is not what I expect to hear from our president. It's one thing to pull your NATO funding, tariffs on product, okay, all that, I get all that. But to threaten war against an ally because we want their geographical position or their rare minerals, I don't care what he says about we're in a better position to protect them than they are, whatever. This is just plain wrong to me. Sovereign nations do not seize the territory of their own allies. And I don't think that they should be even allowing for this possibility. I have no idea what this would do to international relations and the allies as well. Again, I'm assuming this isn't a real threat, so I don't have a strong takeaway on this whole issue. It just bears watching to me. And I wish the president would come out and say, look, we're not going to get involved with military action. I believe that's where he's at in his mind and what his real intent is. But I think that should be said. I don't know how this threat of the military interaction helps. I don't know if that's the kind of thing like that's too much. Like, okay, that's in my kitchen now. And I don't think that's going to get people to the bargaining table. Now, I could be wrong about that, but when you're talking about allies and you're talking about the way to get things done, it just, to me, I don't think it's the right way to do this. So I wish I knew the real plan, but that's how Trump operates. And you know what? He's been very successful doing it. And my guess is he'll be very successful here. But my one sort of untouchable is the thing about the military force. Don't like it. Don't like the Carolyn Leavitt is kind of doubled down on that. I get you float things out there. Well, you never know what we might do, but that to me is a bridge too far. And that's how I see it. You can let me know what you think about that as well. 701-271-1100. Hey, if you need a new garage door, fast, reliable repairs, OnTrack Garage Door has got you covered. They specialize in commercial, residential, and farm shop doors, plus expert spring replacements and door repairs. OnTrack Garage Door is proud to be veteran-friendly and grounded in strong Christian values. Quality work, honest service, and a team you can trust. Let them get you on the right track with OnTrack. Call them at 701-793-4246 today. Yeah, it's this time of year, right, when the garage doors start acting up. Like, hey, what's going on? Well, if you got any issues with that, go ahead and get that taken care of. Good people over there at OnTrack Garage Doors. All right, when we come back, my question of the day for you. On this day 1 year ago, President Trump was inaugurated. What is the biggest accomplishment of year one? I think this is important that we talk about these things and remember. Time flies by so dang fast. But what is the biggest accomplishment for President Trump in year one? Your call is 271-1100 when we come back. 701-271-1100. Good morning to you, my friend, if you're listening to me out west, western North Dakota on KTGO Radio. If you're listening on WZFG, the flag in the Red River Valley, welcome to you. Thank you, my friend, for joining me. If you're listening on the mobile app or the smart speaker from wherever in the world you might be, a special welcome to you also. Glad to be with you here today on the program. As you know, on the program, I like to throw out things, and I try to call balls and strikes as honestly as I can. And there's in every 100 things that I see President Trump do, there's 95 of them where I'm like, home run, way to go. Love it. But then there's every once in a while some of these things, like I'm talking about today with Greenland. I do think it's important to say, okay, this maybe seems off the outside corner here, while the others are right down the heart of the plate. But that's just my opinion. And as I say all the time, this is the smartest radio audience that I have ever seen or been around. And I do learn a lot from you all. So if there's something that you have to say on any of these things where I say, hey, this is great, and you say, Steve, hang on a minute, or vice versa, love to hear from you at 271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. So on the table for you today, if you want to sound off on Greenland, we sure can. But this whole segment, I really want to hear also your thoughts on President Trump's greatest accomplishment of year one. So let me know what you think, 271-1100. Steve, great. This comes from the text line. And again, the text line is 701-237-5090. Greatest accomplishment, top dog Trump and his legal department able to use military force to take out dictator Maduro from Venezuela. Monroe Doctrine gives muscle to Trump to block Russia and China from too much influence in the Western Hemisphere. Yeah, and I think that's what's being talked about with Greenland as well, that this all sort of falls into the same thing. So thank you for sending that along there as well. And let's go to the phone lines now. And we've got Mark and Dan. And I see the other line is ringing too. So let's get started here. Mark, you are up number one here on the program. Good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Steve. Good morning. His greatest accomplishment is economic. He's done more for this country in the past year than the Biden administration would have done in 20 years. Also, you know, it's a lot closer from Murmansk or any port on the northern Russian shore to any point in Greenland for a trade route, 3,000 miles, something like that. It's 8,000 miles from Hong Kong to L.A., Seattle, like that. It's far, far shorter distance. Russia should recognize that if we control Greenland, we'll make them our main trading partner, and they could take China's place in manufacturing all that stuff they currently manufacture for us.
Oh, okay.
Russian goods would become preeminent.
Yeah, just from the port distances you're talking about.
Right. Much shorter.
Yeah, good point. Shorter. Mark, thanks. I love when people add something that I didn't know or hadn't thought about. So good points, and certainly it helps us understand the whole situation over there. Mark, thank you for the call. I appreciate you weighing in here on the program this morning. Thanks much. That opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. What is Donald Trump's greatest accomplishment from year one? It was exactly 1 year ago today. I was in Washington, D.C., along with Scott Hannon as well, and it was a special day, no doubt about that. Man, just the feeling of relief. I think that was, you know, it was joy, but more than that was relief. Like, can you believe what we just dodged? Just think if that woman would have won. And I don't mean to say it like a woman would. Like, I hope someday we have a woman president. I think it'd be great. I think for little girls and teen girls growing up, it'd be something to aspire to. But it's got to be the right woman, right? Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, just like your dad told you dating. Hey, not just any old woman. It's got to be the right woman. So, thankfully, yours truly has found the right one. Dan in Lake Park wants to talk about Greenland as well. Hey, Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I want to talk about Iran, Greenland, and Rob Kupick here quick.
Okay.
For Iran.
Spanning the gamut of topics. Let's go quick, brother, okay?
Oh, yeah. Iran, if people on the streets are going to die on the streets and Trump says he's coming to town to help out and America's coming to save him, he better do something. And because, you know, else people are going to go and die in protest for no cause. And Trump does that sometimes. I love him, but he can't say stuff that he can't follow through. For Greenland, when I was in Greenland, I was talking to an air control guy up on the air control strips. There is huge international airports going in the last couple of years. I don't know who's funding them, but there's international hubs everywhere now. There was only one before this. And so when I was talking to him, they love AOC, and they get all the news from the BBC. So we got to take that into context on how radical the BBC is.
Yeah, good point. I don't know a lot about the BBC, but I'll take your word for it, Dan. It sounds like you've watched it more than I have, so thanks for the thought on that.
Yeah, you only need to see a couple articles and just, you know, the clickbait and the misconstrued things. On the BBC.
Yeah.
And then for Rob Kupick, I've left him a lot of voicemails. The last time he actually called me back is when I had to call him out on your show. So I've called him about SNAP benefits, voting, and I never get a call back from Rob Kubik. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. Rob and I actually worked together over at WDAY-TV for a while. A great guy, and he and I got along well. And when I heard that he was getting into politics, everything okay there, Dan?
Yeah, I'm out on the lake spearfishing.
What'd you get something there, or what? What was the whoop I just heard?
Oh, I just opened the door. I just got out here.
Okay, gotcha. I thought you were whooping and hollering like you got something already. So if you get a fish while spearfishing on the Steve Halsham Show Live, you'll have a spot in the show Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about that. So I keep us posted on that. Yeah, it happens so often where people are, I'm going to try to be open-minded. I'm really going to stand up for the people of Clay County. And then you get down there. And when you vote for that Paid Leave Act, I'm sorry, there were ways to do that. You know, payroll tax credits that would fund additional PTO or something. There was ways to do this, but they completely overplayed their hand on this like they do everything else. And I'm disappointed in the senator. And, you know, his comments lately about, in greater Minnesota, people are really worried they're on edge. No, they're not. Not in greater Minnesota.
No.
Maybe in certain corners of Moorhead, over by a certain university, that might be the deal. But the senator's got to get out to more of his district if he thinks this is unpopular in rural Minnesota.
Yeah, he's saying people are afraid to go to school, the kids and the teachers. I'm like, what schools and teachers and who are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You won't even call me back and answer the question. You can't be broad about that and just follow the instincts of what Minneapolis is doing. It's just a word salad constantly from him. We can't have that for our person that's supposed to be representing us up here.
Yep, right on. Dan, I appreciate it. Good luck fishing.
Yep, thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Dan in Lake Park. I thought I heard a big whoop there, like something either really good or really bad happened. Turned out it was just a creaky door hinge, apparently. So, okay, that opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. And let me know, what do you think the greatest accomplishment of year one of Trump 2.0 is? From the text line, Steve, hands down, the most important accomplishment is securing our borders. That is what I voted for. Well, that's a really good one right there. Seriously, has there been a bigger impact of anything he's done? Maybe not. I like that one. I'm putting that one at number one right now. Earlier when Mark said economic stuff, that's 100% true too. Lower gas prices, and we're bringing inflation down very, very slowly, but the productivity and the wages and all that is going up, so we'll have at least a better balance. We'll have more money to pay for things, even if they get a little more expensive. So, yeah, very good. I like that. That was a good one. So, Scott, no. This is my name's Steve, by the way. If you're listening to the show, it's not Scott Hanna anymore in this spot, Steve. I'll just say that there wasn't ever. Steve, just sit there and clutch your pearls. Your ideas have already ruined flag radio. Just let Trump deal with how to negotiate. Okay, fair. I'll take that. I do think that we've got to still have a forum of discussion where we can, at some point, if something seems like it's out of bounds, we can say it. So I'm going to do that, and you're going to have to decide if I've ruined flag radio or not. I think also what I would tell you this, Mr. or Miss, a texter person, I don't have a name here, but I'm going to make a promise to you that I'm always going to tell you exactly what I really think, and that I'm not going to ever lie to you or try to make something sound good when it's not. That way you can know that what I'm telling you is what I really think. And if we can have conversations like that, I think we're better off, because I hate it when people say one thing, to your face and say another thing behind your back. So you may not like everything that's said here. I get all that. I am like every one of you, trying to sort out the world, trying to figure out, are we doing the right thing or the wrong thing? And I just, to have this blind sort of follow and never question anything, that's sort of how we got to this place in a lot of different areas of our life. So I get it. You're loyal to the president. And I think I am too. I just am willing to say, okay, on this one, I don't know. Didn't like that. But hey, whatever. Let's see here. 89% of Greenland's population, Steve, is indigenous or Inuit. I think that's how you say it. Rumors are that Denmark has controlled Inuit populations. Oh, okay. A little background there that I had not heard of before. Steve, add this to your homework information on Greenland, and it's an Associated Press news article, which makes me a little squirrely about it right off the top. But the headline says Denmark's leader apologizes to indigenous girls and women in Greenland for forced contraception. Oh, so apparently this is a thing. This is an article that came out in September of last year, and it talks about young women were fitted with contraceptive devices without their consent. Okay, that's way too much for me to be able to process on the fly, but thank you for all of that. So, all right, let's see. Let's go back. Phone lines popping here a little bit. So what do we got here? Oh, Addison, we're running a little tight on time, aren't we? Let's do this. Christian, hang on, and Bill, hang on. We'll get you guys on the other side. Don't want to miss a break. In this new time slot, we've got these hard breaks, and you got to hit them right on time or the whole world blows up. So we don't want any of that. So your comments, your calls, your questions, criticisms, hey, we'll take it all. That's all good, too. 701-271-1100, best way to get in on the show. Let's keep more of that coming when we come back. Still to come, how about borrowing from your 401k plan for a house? I've looked into what the president is proposing on this one. I kind of like it. We'll talk about this as we continue on the Steve Alstrom Show. At Capstone Classical Academy, they believe cultural renewal begins with education, forming wise and virtuous young men and women who love what is true, good, and beautiful. And you can support the effort. Go online right now to givingheartsday.org and search Capstone to make your tax-deductible gift for Giving Hearts Day. Capstone, rigorous academic studies with a Christian worldview. We'd like to hear your worldview today on the Steve Alstrom Show, 271-1100. From the text line, TDS is also blind, bombastic support of Trump that doesn't allow for a radio host to slightly question Trump. Each side of TDS feeds the other. Oh, it's an interesting way to look at it. I hadn't thought of that before. I love people who think differently and bring up something you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Steve, I think the president's greatest accomplishment is stopping immigration at the border, but I'm very disappointed how he's handling the door-to-door immigration process and how he's treating adults and children when looking for illegal immigrants. Plus, he said he was going to go after the worst of the worst people first. This, too, doesn't seem to be the case. Your thoughts? Oh, brother. There's a lot there, and I don't know that we have time to unpack that. I'll just say this. Number one, beware of what you are told that you have seen, what you've been told that you've seen. You will see a snippet. You'll see an angle. You'll see something, but there's no context to it. Your 10-second social media. You don't know what the ICE agents knew about that residence, that person. You don't know what happened before the camera started rolling. I would just say be careful. I've seen some things that made me go, ugh, too. But I also say we've got an ugly, messy, big job to do here. It's going to be ugly and messy fixing it. War is not pretty, and war gets messy. And this is a war, you guys. It is. There's going to be collateral damage. And you know what? There's going to be somebody that gets inconvenienced or hurt or maybe even killed that is a sad, tragic mistake. But you know what? It's still worth it in the end. I know that in a lot of circles you can't say that, but it's true. You can't say that we have this massive issue. I mean, look at the people they are pulling out. And I get it. Some of the people are not the worst of the worst, but a lot of them are. We're getting those people out of our streets. And you know what? Sometimes things spill over and it's sad. And if there is injustice done, if there is something that is completely reckless, and you go off the playbook or whatever, then there can be some repercussions for that. I'm fine with that, too. But beware of how things seem, and you remember you have an entire media establishment, legacy media, that is telling you that they are butchering people, they are slaughtering people, they're ripping kids out of there, they're sending them to faraway places, the parents don't know where they are. Do you think some of that's exaggerated? Do you think a lot of that is exaggerated? Do you think almost all of it is exaggerated? I do. I do. Now, I haven't seen a lot with my own two eyes, but I've seen this movie before. Steve, if you're going to discuss the property tax bill and credit that was approved, I was wondering why our property was increased by almost 40%. Okay, this is for a different conversation here, so we'll get it. We'll get that here in a little bit. One more text and we'll get to the phone lines. Steve, Trump has been in office for a full year, and I fully support his immigration efforts. What I want to know is, has the money been cut off? Cutting the money off immediately will send a large portion of them back home on their own. It will be immediate savings for America. Well, that's a good question. I don't know if that's a rhetorical question or you're hoping I've got some numbers for you. I don't. I know they have cut off some funding for some things, right? That's the whole DOGE effort. It started day one, you know, January 20th of 2025. So in some ways, yes. But remember, a lot of that money is going through the states, and it's already been a portion. It's already been sent to the states, and now the states are doling it out. That's why we got into problems with all the fraud stuff. You know, these federal programs that sent the money to the states, and the states were supposed to oversee it, make sure it went to the right things at the right time with the right people, and many times it did not. So, yeah, good point. And I think more of that needs to be done. I will say this, where I think Trump has been really good on this issue, is he has not backed down from anything with this, and that includes the funding as well. All right, let's go back to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Christian is on the line here, and he's got something that Trump did that probably changed the world. Boy, I want to hear about this. Christian, good morning. What's going on today?
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag, yes.
I say there was one small... Yeah, I'm a Shotzi.
Okay, very nice.
So one thing Trump did, if you look back on the past, that changed the world, and I think we can all agree on this. One thing that he did was he turned his head slightly.
It's a pretty good accomplishment right there, isn't it? Yep.
It certainly changed the world, my friend.
Oh, man. Boy, you said it. Can you imagine? I mean, we would have had another candidate, right? You'd have JD or DeSantis or somebody there, but yeah, it just wouldn't have been the same, and obviously we'd be mourning still. And who knows what kind of anarchy the country might have descended into if that had been successful. So huge accomplishment. It probably wasn't in the last year, but I love expanding the time frames on that one to include that one. Christian, well done, sir. Thank you. Yeah. Changed the world by turning his head slightly. Good stuff. I wish Charlie Kirk would have been able to somehow get out of the way. Doggone it. Christian, thank you, brother. Appreciate you calling. All right. We can keep these calls coming in the second hour as well. Text messages also. Greatest accomplishment of year one for President Trump, would like to know. All right. The key three is coming up next here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Mayor Jacob Fry makes the list today, by actually bringing some common sense to the discussion. I know. We haven't heard this very often. We'll do that when we come back. Steve Hallstrom Show. Hour two, next. I wish it was a slower day so I could talk a little football with you. Those that have listened to me for any length of time know I love high school, college, pro football. I don't know. It's just kind of been my blood. And this Indiana team that won the whole thing yesterday, it's like nothing I've ever seen. There are no, everybody's been saying there's no really any words to describe this. When the head coach of the Indiana football team, Kurt Cignetti, was at James Madison, Bison fans got to kind of see how he works, and he did a really good job there. But it wasn't as though he had made deals with the devil and you just couldn't beat him, and his teams were every play perfectly prepared and physically superior and faster and stronger and whatever. And this whole year in college football, they've kind of been that. It's been his second year at Indiana. The most remarkable turnaround I've ever seen. Yesterday, they went in the national championship game as 8.5-point favorites. They ended up winning by 6. So the Vegas people kind of knew what they were talking about. And sure enough, they won the whole thing. And I don't know if this guy's made a deal with the devil. I don't know what has happened here, but this is what he has done. It's absolutely crazy. And they did it without any 4 or 5-star guys. They've got, if I remember right, they got like 5 or 6 4-star guys. And I don't think any 5-star guys. A lot of the guys on this team came with him when he left James Madison and went to Indiana. And yet they were by far the best college football team all year long. And, just an amazing story, great scene. I don't know if he can do it again, But he was really good last year, and this year you just couldn't beat him. The quarterback Mendoza is going to be the first pick in the NFL draft, most likely. He'll go to the Raiders, poor guy. But this kid is fantastic as well. He is so unlike anything I think I've ever seen before in terms of how he operates. He is a strong believer. And he's absolutely fine with you knowing that, very vocal about his faith, which is a ton of fun. But he's kind of like a little kid. He's got these kind of like weird little mannerisms, like he's just like a little kid sometimes. I saw somebody posted on Twitter yesterday, Fernando Mendoza looks like he makes his animal crackers fight each other before he eats them. And you know what? I retweeted that thing. I'm like, that's exactly right. Can't you see him taking the elephant and the rhinoceros? It just, he's just so disarming, and you can't help but root for the guy. And man, what a warrior, though. Don't be fooled by the outward exterior, because this kid is he'll give everything for his team, and he made a touchdown run to basically seal it for his team that will go down in sports history. So congratulations to the Indiana Hoosiers. All right, it's 10:09 here on the Steve Holstrom Show, and nine past the hour for those of you out in the Mountain Time Zone. Let's get to the key three. Nathan and Dana, hang on. I'll try to sneak you guys in here best that I can. But here are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. I used to call it the top five at five when I was doing the afternoon show, but that doesn't work. So we're going to call it the key three at 10 o'clock here. So story number one, for the first time in more than 30 years, North Dakota's Bakken Shale Formation will be operated without drilling rigs from Continental Resources. Harold Hamm is the company's founder, and he announced this in an interview with Bloomberg last week. Basically, prices have gotten to the point, we've been talking about a lot, that average price of a barrel of oil, WTI, has been upper 50s for a while. But lately, it kind of was in the mid-50s. Now, the last few days, it's been above 60. But it's tough because they don't get the $60. They've got to get it to market, so there's a discount off of that. And he says, look, there's just no need to drill when margins are basically gone. So you might wonder, well, what does this mean? So I did a little research on this one for you. Continental is the state's second biggest producer. They account for about 16 to 17% of total Bakken production. So this is a big deal. And if you want to know what the impact of this is, a single active drilling rig in North Dakota, according to North Dakota Petroleum Foundation, typically generates about $25 to $30 million in direct economic activity annually. So if they're shutting down, I think I saw that they've got seven or eight out there. So that's $200 million-ish in economic activity. And the state gets some tax from that. The legacy fund is funded with that as well. And that's a big, big deal right there. So, yeah, not great. I've said that probably the sweet spot where you still have reasonably priced gas, but for North Dakota, we keep drilling, is probably in that 65 range, mid-60s or so, maybe a little bit above, a little bit below, but that's my thought on that. But this is a big deal. And certainly the state of North Dakota is going to have to figure out what to do with all a little less tax revenue coming in from Continental Resources. And then who else might be following suit now that this is out? Interesting story to watch there. Story number two, this comes from the Associated Press in Minneapolis, which obviously makes me a little leery, but this one made me take notice. Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, says he's encouraging protesters to remain peaceful so the U.S. president won't need to send in the military through the Insurrection Act. So reading a little bit deeper into this whole thing, he says, we will not counter Donald Trump's chaos with our own brand of chaos here. He said that thousands of Minneapolis citizens are exercising their First Amendment rights and the protests have been peaceful. Okay, so let's interpret here a little bit. I bristle a little bit at the words remain peaceful, because I don't think the protests have been peaceful. Now, has there been, you know, vehicles being set on fire? Has there been buildings like in the George Floyd riots? No, that hasn't happened. But, I mean, any one of these protests, you'll find people throwing things at officers. You'll find, in some cases, vehicles being smashed. And then in addition to that, is just these outright threats, the whistles, the cowbells, the screaming of people getting in their face, spitting, whether intentionally or unintentionally, as they're saying F you, F you, F you, which is their favorite word here. I don't know that I call that peaceful. It's not violent, but it's not peaceful. So when Jacob Fry says, our protests have been peaceful, the people of Minneapolis have been peaceful, we want to remain peaceful, yeah, no. But I do like the fact that he's telling people, basically, let ICE do its job so we don't have to see the military come in. And that would be smart for Jacob Fry to say that. So we'll see what happens, but when there's somebody from the wide left out there saying that he's urging people to be peaceful, that cannot be anything other than a good thing. So good on you, Jacob Fry. Finally, this story I thought was interesting here. Americans' driving habits are in gradual decline, reports Fox Business. Federal Highway Administration info shows vehicle miles traveled per capita have declined 2.3% in 2019. Compared with two decades ago, the average American drives nearly 5% less. It seems as though Americans are becoming less dependent on driving. I don't have a lot of takeaways there, but I just thought that was interesting there. I think it's partly because we are moving from a rural-based economy to everybody's living in town, so that might have something to do with it there. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line is open for business. Got a couple minutes here, so let's sneak in a few calls quick. Grant, let's talk football. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? A couple takeaways watching the whole entire game. The SEC, everybody, and the commentators, they just love it. They think it's the best in the world. Mm-hmm. There's an arrogance about it, yet they're thugs. During the middle of the game, Miami was fighting with each other on the sidelines, and I knew they were going to lose just because of that moment. Mm. The quarterback walks off the field with his helmet on, doesn't shake anybody's hand, and at the end, there was also a Miami player fighting an Indiana player. I think it was a righteous win for football, and to pry that away from the SEC, because, quite honestly, I don't think a lot of those guys, I mean, they're very good athletes. But outside of football, I don't know how good or what their prospects are. Because if that's all you got and you're always fighting and there was dirty hits that weren't even called from Miami onto Indiana. So I'm glad that it's not SEC.
Yeah.
And they have the format set up to where you can have a good example of good leadership, good college football players, winning with integrity.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to Indiana for sure. Grant, thanks a lot for calling. I'll say the one kid you saw throw a punch from Miami, apparently the Indiana kid said something to him about his dad who, like, died or something recently. There's more to it than that. And then afterwards, I did see that same Miami player. He was hanging out with Mendoza, hugging him. He was in good mood. It seemed like it was just something that was said in the heat of the post-game battle. I'm not going to call the kid a bad seed because of that, but I think you've landed on a couple interesting things. Steve Alstrom Show continues after this. Every week at this time, we had a chance to get a little smarter thanks to our buddy Chris Buckingham, founder and fractional CXO at Solve CXO. I love this concept of CXO because you hear CEO, COO, CIO, all the different officers. But these days, you got to be a little versatile. You got to be a little flexible. That's where the X comes from. I love that concept. And Chris has been doing some speaking and writing on the hidden cost of poor tech decisions. And I love this. So Chris is with us here on the phone line today. Chris, we talked a little last week about matching up technology with company goals. So what are some of those hidden costs that come with bad tech decisions?
Yeah, good morning, Steve. It really does cost more than just money. A lot of businesses don't know that they're paying for overlapping software. They've got licenses they're paying for they don't use. There's extra training required they didn't think about, and a lot of times it just creates a lot of inefficiency.
Yeah, so when you're talking about inefficiency, whether that's training costs or you're losing revenue, whatever, I mean, those things add up in a hurry, right? And sometimes they compound each other.
Yeah, it adds up in a hurry, and really it affects the business in such a negative way because people just start taking shortcuts. You know, there's focus that gets lost with the bigger costs. And at the end of the day, as a leader, you spend more time managing the tools and working in the business on the tools instead of really growing the business and continuing to work on it.
Is that how SolveCXO helps the businesses that you work with?
Yeah, and that's the reason why I created the Solve Tech Advisors program, because it helps businesses really simplify their tech stack. We look to eliminate waste and make smarter decisions that will help save money and reduce the complexity so their business functions more effectively.
And that sort of helps the whole technology piece work for you, right? Being an ally to the business instead of something you got to solve in a problem, right?
Exactly. It's business first, and then the IT brings clarity, confidence, and the technology environment that actually supports the business productivity.
Love it. Chris Buckingham is the expert on this stuff. And I call him a vision to action leader, because it's not just seeing it, it's not just doing it, it's putting all that together. And he gets the job done for his clients at SolveCXO, helping business owners turn their vision into action. SolveCXO.com, SolveCXO.com. Solve your problems and give Chris a call. Thanks for the time today, brother. Have a great day.
Yeah, same to you, Steve.
All right, thanks so much. All right, 1022, Steve Alstrom Show, coming up here. And just, well, let's do it now, Addison. Let's get our qualifier knocked out here today. Now, we've had a little bit of a losing streak here. I don't know how to feel about this, but we're going to move things over to the Fargo side, and maybe it'll go better. Roxanne Wren, R-E-H-N. I hope I'm saying that right. Wren or Rain. Roxanne Wren, Rain of Fargo. You now have 11 minutes. So we're going to say 10:34. Will be the cutoff for you, Roxanne. You don't have to put the phone on hold. You can give us a call here at 701-271-1100. And that Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime, you could be a qualifier here. If you've not registered yet, go to am1100theflag.com and register to get yourself in the drawing. All right, it's time for what I like to call the best thing I heard all day. And the best thing I heard all day was last night before the national championship football game. I love watching sporting events, or I guess it's mostly sporting events, where the president attends. And they either show him before the game, he comes out on the field, or they will show them on the Jumbotron scoreboards, the video boards during the national anthem, which is what happened last night. And I want you to listen to what the reaction was for President Trump and his family at the championship game in Miami. So let me set it up for you. They are playing the national anthem, and this is only about 15 seconds long. This is a shorty. I'm going to let you know when they put him up on the screen. All right? So, and then you're going to hear the reaction. So this is what it sounded like in Miami last night. Indiana taking on Miami. About a 50-50 split on the fans. So if you're wondering, Miami versus Indiana, it's about a 50-50 split. And this is what the fantastic, by the way, national anthem sounded like, and what the applause meter sounded like. Proudly we hail at now they show him. Twilight's last gleam, whose stripes and by stars. Okay, so that was it. You heard, I thought, a pretty rousing applause meter there for the president. There were a few boos at the end there, but overwhelmingly a pretty positive scene down there in Miami. And I just think it's a good reminder that whatever it seems like or feels like, if you are driving around, listen to certain news programs or channels or stations, watch certain things, you feel like everybody hates Donald Trump because that's the message they're trying. Oh, he's not very popular. Look at his approval ratings. We just saw one the other day where Republicans, 90% favorability in a CBS poll. 90%. Now, I know it's all Republicans, but you would think that in any group of 10, anybody, you're going to have, you know, more than maybe one. But Donald Trump, overwhelmingly popular with Republicans. And at least among football fans last night at the national championship game, do not believe the way people try to make it seem that everybody hates Donald Trump. There are a lot of people who are saying, thank goodness we have this guy in office. All right, 10:26 here. That was the best thing I heard all day yesterday. If you got a comment about that or anything else, 271-1100. Dana wants to talk about Greenland, and the question I've been asking to you all day, what is Trump's greatest accomplishment of year number one? So let me know what you think about that. Dana's up next on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, Dana.
Hey, good morning, Steve, and everybody else. Hey, well, you have to look at the big picture of what Trump's doing. He's securing the freedom for the Western Hemisphere. And to all the allied friends of ours over in Europe, you know, you're part of our, we've been there for you to help you all the way through history. And this here action is to help you again. So it would be nice if you'd kind of back us and back Trump in securing this freedom effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the oceans separate the hemispheres, and that's what he's doing. So
Dana, let me
ask you, Steve.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question first, and I'll be happy to answer yours. So let's say Trump feels like taking over Norway, because that's not that much different than what we're talking about here. Let's say Trump says, I want to take over Norway because I think it's in the best interest of the Western Hemisphere and the United States. Would he be right to do that? I don't think that he would.
No, I'm not saying that he should watch in and just, you know, steamroll everybody. I'm saying it would be in their best interest to get on board with this because we have been protecting them all through history. So why would you want to change that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Make it so it
yeah, I agree with
not yeah, animosity.
I agree with that, Dana. I would say there's got to be a better way to do it, or a more of a middle ground, though, than the threat of military force to take over Greenland. That, to me, is just, I'm not saying we should take him out back and shoot him. Don't get me wrong. And I get it. He floats out stuff to kind of set the boundaries of the debate and then bring it back there. But I just think there's maybe a different way, different ideas to do it rather than, when you're talking about military, it's like, that's tough.
No, I don't agree with that either. Can I ask you, they're going to have that special session. Are we going to cover that and kind of keep up with what they're pulling off on us?
Yep. Tomorrow, Governor Armstrong will do his State of the State, and that'll be kind of the kickoff. So, yes, we'll be definitely keeping up to speed on that as the week goes on. Thanks, Dana. Appreciate you. All right. More of the Steve Olsen Show coming up next. A international relations expert who knows something about Greenland next. You spent too long hiding your smile, avoiding photos, avoiding laughter, maybe even avoiding life. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, that changes in just one day. Their same-day smile transformations help you walk in with hesitation and walk out with confidence. With gentle sedation, a compassionate team, and flexible financing, they remove every barrier between you and the smile you deserve. Call Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo or visit DakotaDentalImplant.com. DakotaDentalImplant.com. Don't wait to smile like you mean it. From the text line, Steve, it's a crazy world today. Indiana's good at football and Nebraska's good at basketball. Who would have thought? That's right. It keeps us entertained, though, right? It's all good. We are pleased to be joined now on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line by Michael Letts. And Michael is a law enforcement expert, U.S. Army veteran, and international relations expert. And he's got a lot of experience on European and Arctic security and has a unique perspective on the Greenland conversation as well. Michael, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, Steve, it's always a privilege to be with you. We thank you for the opportunity.
So just off the top of your head, when you hear this business about Trump and talking tough on Greenland and getting involved there, and, you know, it might be tariffs, it might be even some intervention there, what goes through your mind as you start thinking about Greenland and its strategic position?
Well, I think you hit a key word there, is that, Steve, and that's strategic. You know, people seem to think, oh, this is just coming up because Trump has an interest. Actually, it's not true. Harry Truman had an interest, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff back in the early 50s had a significant interest. They were asking that we purchase Greenland, and, of course, what ended up becoming of that is we couldn't purchase it, so we had to do a lease for one of the bases there, and that's the way it was kind of left. But that's been a strategic piece of property for quite some time, even during World War II. So, first of all, we need to clear the air. This is not a Trump issue. This is something that's been affecting our country for decades.
Interesting.
Second of all, why does it affect it? You know, what's the main reason why it affects it? Well, take a look at the strategic location. You know, the Nazis placed a number of bases on Greenland during World War II. Why is that? Because its direct access, its dump out point, is New York City. When you go further north of Greenland, northeast, You're in the waters of the former Soviet Union, Russia now, with all their nuclear bases. Their nuclear sub bases are there. You go south. The only thing that stops those nuclear subs going south to New York is an outpost in Scotland, overseen by the UK. Scotland doesn't care for that outpost, by the way. And, of course, you can't blame them because it's a target on their back, knowing that they are the ones that are supposed to be charged with notifying what kind of nuclear subs go through its waters. But the other thing that you need to be aware of, and this is what's happening nowadays, you have to accept what it is. You take a look at Europe, and that means the UK being overrun by Muslims, by Islamic jihadists, and we expect many of those countries, either they already have or are falling to Muslim governmental rule. We can never allow that to happen in England, what would happen to the outposts in Scotland. We need a backup. We need safety. And the third thing is, this is part of our global, or what we call the Golden Globe strategy, to be able to protect America from incoming ICBMs. And this is part of the strategy. It protects Greenland as well as us. So it's key to our strategic initiatives. Well, why is it so important now? Well, what they're not telling you is this, Steve, that there has been discussions from Denmark with both Russia and China about the establishment of bases there as well. It is being courted by China and Russia. We can ill afford to allow them to have access to Greenland. That will be our defense, first line of defense for the United States. So it is definitely strategic. You say, yeah, it's also got great mineral resources. True. So what's wrong with making sure that we keep those mineral resources for the best interest of the Western Hemisphere instead of turning them over to Russia or China, who don't like us to begin with? So there's a lot of validity in needing to get Greenland. Now, what's going to be the best strategy? Well, the president's using three different sources. I'll pay you for it. If you don't want to sit down and talk about being about cash payment for it, then I might have to make things a little more difficult with trade, i.e. tariffs. But at the end of the day, if none of those work, we do have the option of taking over Greenland. It is that strategically important to us that all options are on the table. Obviously, the military option is the final option, but there's a lot more that comes with just the military option. You know, NATO only survives because of U.S. participation.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because guess who ends up paying the bill, Steve?
That's right.
We get sent the bill every month, even though we don't get any benefit out of it. So if they want to really flex and try to say, well, you know, this is a NATO determined, then fine. NATO can have it. We'll keep Greenland. NATO can have its own, can pay for its own bills, and can provide its own defense, which it probably should be doing anyway, should Russia or anybody else decide they want to invade Europe. And that scares them to death. So at the end of the day, I think that we will end up with Greenland. I'm advising the White House that I'm not so sure we should make it a state. I don't want to risk any more liberal seats in the Senate. You know, and quite frankly, I'm not saying that the population there is liberal now, but there's not much of a population there. Wouldn't put much for a bunch of liberals to go on over there to keep the state headed, make it a blue state. I think it'd be better off to be a territory. But that's just a personal opinion of mine. But Greenland is extremely strategic and important. And the one thing that I want to make sure we stress in the interview you and I are doing now is this is not a Donald Trump issue. This has been being discussed for decades.
Yeah, great perspective. You taught me a lot of things I didn't know about the history there, so thanks for responding there. So who responds militarily if, say, China or Russia decide they want to make a power play and do a takeover of Greenland? You talked about that as certainly something that could happen. Who would respond and who would be on the other side? Like, who would join in with Denmark and Greenland to fight against them, besides probably the United States?
Well, that would be the key. You see, you know, Denmark would expect that NATO would then come to its defense. Well, the problem is NATO is really, as you said just a second ago, Steve, NATO is America. And without America, there is no NATO. NATO, we provide all the funding for NATO. We provide all the forces. Oh, yeah, they bring some token units involved. But at the end of the day, when the fighting gets heavy, who's the ones that are doing the fighting? It's the American units. So if we're going to have to do it all anyway, why do we want to have anybody else's input? We need to do what's best for the United States. America first. Mm. I'm sorry some people get rubbed the wrong way when we say that.
Not here, brother.
It's about time we start doing that.
Not here, you don't. Nope, absolutely. We We've got to protect this country, no doubt about it. It does. I'll just be honest, and I've been honest with my audience this morning. It makes me really nervous, though, when we're talking about doing a forced, you know, a coup kind of a takeover of a place that, you know, very similar to a Norway or a Sweden. And in this part of the world, we're all right. Scandinavian. So how messy does that get with our international allies? And are we then, you know, basically breaking off ties with all of our allies if we do something like that? How messy could that get?
Well, here's the issue. We already have the bases there. When we say there's a military takeover, we're not rolling in tanks and blowing up buildings. We've already got it. It's just a matter of setting the government down that's there and saying, we're taking over the government. They don't have any ability to defend that. Denmark has no ability. They know that. There wouldn't be a blood battle, shall we say. So the question then becomes, since we already had that position, why are we mentioning it? It's a tactic, shall we say, from Trump that, look, I want you to understand the importance of this issue to us. We're willing to use military options if we have to, but we all know good and well in the inner circles that'll never happen.
I think you mentioned earlier that, Michael, that you said, I'm advising the White House. Talk about your relationship with the president and the administration.
Well, I'll tell you, the president is doing a fantastic job with delivering. I think one of the things that makes this president different, Steve, is this. He's doing what he said he was going to do. You know, people say, well, his poll numbers are down or his poll numbers are up. Now, what his poll numbers reflect is people's perception on what we promised to accomplish. He's not worried about his popularity. If he said he was going to do something, that's what we're attempting to do. And we're attempting to make sure it gets done. The one thing that I feel very strongly about with the administration is we have done a tremendous job of dealing with the nefarious acts. We've done a tremendous job with helping to stand by freedom across the world, whether it's in Venezuela or now in Iran. But what I am encouraging is this, Mr. President, what are we freeing other countries from? We're freeing them from tyranny. And what causes their tyranny? Tyranny is being caused by their corruption. I hate to say it, Mr. President, but I believe America is probably the most corrupt country in the world right now. So when is our turn? When are we going to dedicate every resource necessary, including militarily, if that's what it takes, to free Americans from the tyranny of corruption? And we look at it every day, whether it's in Minnesota. Remember, Minnesota is just the tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. happening in every state. And here's what really boils my blood, Steve. In Minnesota, we're talking about the Somalians. It's not just the Somalians defrauding. The Somalian government, they help organize this. Omar helped put it together in Congress through some of the programs. There are so many acts of treason going on that it's sickening. And this is what I'm advising with the White House. Look, America doesn't want to just be know what the problem is. They want you to fix it. And if we don't start holding people accountable and bringing people to justice, then we have no country. We've already lost. So let's do what we're doing. Let's continue to expose. But let's pick up the pace tenfold and start making indictments and start bringing out the handcuffs. I don't think we can accomplish it with our corrupt judicial system that we have now, Steve. I think, quite frankly, the only way to get it accomplished is through military tribunals. At least that's where we need to start.
Well, I've said for a long time, if we don't see some of the state city leaders being walked out in handcuffs, this is going to continue. There is only one thing that these people will respect, and that is the punishment. And if you don't offer some evidence that there will be retribution, there will be justice is maybe the right word for it, then you're going to see these things continue in one way or shape at all. I think, Michael, I don't know how much you visit directly with the president of the administration, but they should hire you to deliver this message because you've taught a whole class here in about 10 minutes for us on the history of Greenland and why it matters and why it is a unique situation. So, well done on that. We got just about a minute left. Any last thoughts that you want to leave with us here today?
Yes, let me do this. You know, of course, I have my charity, Invest USA. We donate body armor to officers across the country. Now more than ever, we need to make sure they're taken care of. They have a price on their head. We need to make sure we show them that we care. And because our future depends on law and order, and we're losing so many officers, they're just saying, enough's enough. I'm out. I'm going to go find something else to do. Please tell them today, thank you for your service. God bless you. God bless America. Let's win this fight, Steve.
Love it. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate your time. Hope we can do this again sometime.
looking forward to it. God bless and God bless America.
Yes, sir. Michael Letts, a good patriot right there, friends. How about that? All right, we are coming back with more. I got a bunch of calls, a bunch of you holding, and a bunch of text messages, too. You get the final word when we come back on the Steve Holsham Show. 18 service drivers. That's what they have down at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. That gets you to your car or your car to you whenever you got to get one to somewhere when you're not in it. Those oil changes, service visits, they come up every once in a while. You got to take care of those things. And if you work with the good folks at Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton, they'll take care of all of that for you. They have 18 service drivers. So you're at work in West Fargo today, and you say, hey, I need an oil change. They'll say, all right, we'll come up and get the car on Tuesday, and we'll bring it down there when you're working. And when you get done working, you're going to walk out, and the car is going to be all ready to go for you because they got the job done for you. That's how they hustle down there at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. That's why you see so many of those license plates around the area. No doubt about that. Go to drivewithvision.com, drivewithvision.com. All right, Addison, did we have a winner today? Did Roxanne Wren slash Rain of Fargo, did she call us today? Oh, my gosh. Oh,
we're on
what are we
street.
Doing wrong here?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but I would like to throw out a friendly reminder in case they are listening.
Yes.
Even though they did not call in today, they are not out of chances.
No, they are not.
And this goes for anyone whose name gets called. If
yes,
you do not call back soon enough, you can always get your name thrown back in the hat if you show up at one of the live stops that we're doing.
Yes. And there's one coming up, I believe, later this week, is there not?
I believe there is. I just closed my schedule, though.
Okay, you did. All right, well, I'm going to try to find that for you here because I believe that there is one coming up. Indeed, here we go. Confirmation, All Sauger Meats. Tomorrow, Thursday to close. Wait a minute. Tomorrow's Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Thursday, okay. So Thursday to close. All Sauger Meats, you can get the new Carnivore, the Creamy Chicken Alfredo, the Pepperoni Classic, the Signature Supreme Pizzas, and, of course, just the best steaks, chops, chicken breasts. They've got it all. Roasts. Oh, my gosh, it's so good. They have the Chuck Wagon beans with the ground beef and the bacon bits in them. That can be like a meal on its own. You don't need anything else. Carl's Lefse made in Holly. They're the only ones in the Fargo-Moorhead area to carry it. And Veterans Location will be celebrating their two-year anniversary this week. So fun stuff right there. And they're going to be at All Sauger Meats coming up. Let's see here. I want to make sure I get the right location here for this one. So this is going – well, I don't know. It might be at both. I don't have the exact location for which one. But you can find them at Veterans Boulevard, Timber Creek Parkway. Or in Breckenridge, Minnesota, or Audubon, Minnesota as well. So good stuff. Thank you to All Sauger Meats for being the presenting sponsor along with Kingpins and Frontier Airlines. All right, you get the final word on the show today. Nathan and Lloyd have been hanging on for a while. Nathan in Cooperstown wants to talk about Greenland. Hey, Nate.
Hey, Steve. I don't know if you've mentioned this or reported on this, but it's something most people fail to address, including your previous guest. China recently said, ABC News, many other news, China says, stop using the China threat as a pretext to invade Greenland. So this tells me this is all rhetoric. It's all rhetoric coming from this current administration. It's the same failed foreign policy, the same rhetoric as Biden, Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Victoria Nuland, Robert Kagan.
Okay, so we get your point. So you believe China is leveling with you and the American people on this?
Well, even if they're not, Steve, China is thousands and thousands of miles away, and China doesn't even have bases on Taiwan, and Taiwan is 100 miles away. China,
yeah, Russia's closer.
And none of them have bases on Taiwan, and they could if they wanted to. That tells me they're happy with the status quo.
Yeah.
They're happy with the status quo. This is the same nonsense as Bush W., as Paul Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, all those guys. It's the same failed rhetoric as weapons of mass destruction. This is nonsense. If we already have bases on Greenland, then just work with Greenland.
Just work it out there.
Work with the government.
All right, I see what you're saying.
This is a fake boogeyman and giving us a false pretext to run around the world in hunting down that boogeyman, and all we do is destroy ourselves, destroy our nation, and that's not Christian nationalism, which I know you support.
Okay. Well, you threw a lot at us there in the last minute, but Nate, thanks for giving a call. I've said very clearly that if you want to define all those words the way we've always defined them, I fit the bill. I don't fit the bill of what they tell you those words now mean. So just so we're clear about that one. Lloyd and Frazee, you get up next. What's going on, Lloyd?
Well, Steve, first of all, I think what you need to do is take that 9 minutes that you heard earlier there and play it at least once a week on the flag.
Oh, wasn't that good?
I was going to say that the United States was, analog until I last listened to the last follow that they're playing marbles. And Trump is playing, he's playing digital. He did what some things that you didn't understand. He's got four nations now in Greenland protecting them because China and Russia is both on the northern shores as we speak. And people that don't listen to this stuff, Trump is right on, and they can say what they want, but he's three steps and three moves ahead of them.
Okay.
Nine minutes, you got to play that.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? It was good stuff. Lloyd, thank you for calling. Sorry, my friend, we're just out of time, and I can't hang on with you much longer, but I appreciate it. Good stuff today. Hey, what a great conversation. I learned a lot of history on the whole Greenland thing, so thank you to Michael Letts for that. Thank you, my friend, for being with me today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Keep learning more, sorting it all out, and exchanging good opinions and ideas. Have a great night or a great day, my friend, and keep on flying that flag.